الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب التمتع. باب التمتع, the chapter of التمتع. In this chapter, the author, he is mentioning narrations clarifying the different types of ansak, the different types of the sacred rites and performing hajj. And the people of knowledge, they have clarified that ansak, al-hajj thalatha, that there are three different types of the sacred rites to be performed. And that is al-ifrad, wal-qiran, والتمتّع. الإفراد, this is one type of nusuk, one type of the sacred rites, one manner in performing the hajj. The hajj, it can be performed in three different manners. There are three different sacred rites. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned, and all of them they remain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had legislated these three rites, and in hajjatul wada', all of them they made. And some of these rites here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made qiran, and a number of his companions likewise made qiran, and others made ifrad, and others they made a tamattu', and in the end, the majority of them wound up making a tamattu' radiyallahu an as-sahabati ajma'in. So the three different types of the sacred rites, meaning the three different manners in performing the sacred rites of Hajj, they are the first one al-ifrad. And the second one, al-qiran. And the third one, al-tamattu'. And this is what the author, he is referring to here in this chapter. This is what the author, he is referring to here in this chapter. And likewise, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had mentioned in his book, فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. In this noble verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to these sacred rites here likewise, at tamattu'. But in the understanding of the Sahaba and the tongue and the language of the Sahaba, the word at tamattu', it includes the rites of at tamattu' and likewise the rites of al-qiran. So many times the word at tamattu' will be mentioned, and what is intended, either at tamattu' or qiran. Both of these are included in yani the term التمتّع. As for in the language of the fuqaha and the مصطلحات that they have agreed upon today, then it has its own specific meaning. So there, from this aspect, is التمتّع الخاص والتمتّع العام. There's a general التمتّع, and this includes two ansak, and that is التمتّع والقران. And then there is the specific التمتّع, and that is the one that is known yani specifically as that type. So many of us have knowledge of some of these affairs, and it's facilitated and easy to understand, and others, they have absolutely no knowledge of these affairs. So before discussing the chapter and reading these narrations, we take a brief introduction to the issues with regards to these ansak. And before understanding these ansak, these different sacred rites in detail, we'll first review the rites of al-umrah, because before one he can understand al-tamattu', he would have to understand the umrah. And then likewise we can review the rites of al-hajj in general, yani the steps that one he will take. So first we discuss the issue of al-umrah, and this will be a bit of review. So we know that umrah has pillars, and they are three: Al-Ihram, Wal-Tawaf, Was-Sa'i. And likewise, Umrah has obligations as well. And they are two, which are Al-Ihram min al-Miqat, making the Ihram from the Miqat, and Al-Halq wa-Taksir. Al-Halq wa-Taksir, naam. So the Ihram, with regards to the Umrah, it has two aspects. One of them is a Rukn, and the other is the Wajib. Two aspects. The ihram enters yani into these rites here, and two aspects. Yani one aspect from the pillar, and the other aspect from the obligation. There's a third aspect likewise that this term ihram is used as well in these rites. And that was? Aywa, ijtinab al-mahdurat, to stay away from that which is impermissible for the one in the state of ihram, to violate any of those affairs that are considered mahdurat or mamnu'at, maharramat, bisababi al-ihram, because of the ihram. And we have discussed those likewise. So whenever a person is going to make umrah, then if he's traveling from a far distance, then he's considered, if the miqat is between him and the and al-masjid al-haram, then he's considered afaqi. Ahsant. He's considered afaqi. Remember that, what the different types of people with regards to the miqat. Who were they? Al-afaqi, al-miqati, and al-makki, and al-makki. So now we discuss the issue of the afaqi, because this is generally the type of situation the people from America, they will find themselves in any of the situation of the afaqi. So he's the one who's coming from far, and the miqat is between him and the house of Allah, meaning that he's going to have to pass the miqat before he can get in into Mecca. So this one, whether he's coming on plane or if he's coming from Medina, for example, then he's going to be traveling. So it's recommended for him to make all of the preparations before coming to the miqat. To make all of the preparations before coming to the miqat. If he's in the plane, then maybe he'll make preparations at the stop that he makes before he comes to, before he's coming to al-Mamlaka al-Arabiya al-Saudiya. So maybe he'll take a flight from here to somewhere, and he will stop and have a layover. And that layover, he will at this time prepare. And that layover, at this time, he will prepare. And likewise, the one who, for example, is coming by vehicle, and he's coming from Al-Madina. So therefore, before he leaves the hotel or wherever he's staying and coming to the miqat, then he will make preparations. So both of them, they'll do the same thing. They'll make the preparations before actually coming near to the miqat. So at this time, they will make the ghusl, al-iktisal. This is from the sunnah, and this is recommended. Before entering into the ihram, that one, he will make the ghusl, and he will cleanse and purify his body. And likewise, he will remove all of the excess hair from his underarm, and likewise from his privates, akramakum Allah. And likewise, he will trim his nails on his hands and his feet. All of this is in preparation. If he's in Medina, for example, before he ever left the hotel room, he is taking care of all of this there. And likewise, he will strip himself after cleansing himself. He will strip himself of all of his clothing, the large clothing and the small clothing, the outer clothing and the underclothing, socks and everything. And he will only wear the izar and the rida. And the izar is the garment that one will wrap around one's waist, covering from his belly button to his knees. And then he will wear the rida over his shoulders. How will he wear the rida? Over both shoulders. The whole time. Through the umrah. We're talking about umrah right now only. He'll wear it over both of his shoulders the whole time. Except for one specific place that we mentioned, inshallah. So therefore, he will put on the izar and the rida. And it's preferred that they'll both be white. And it's preferred that they'll both be clean. Clean and white, and he'll wrap it around his waist. And likewise, it's allowed for him to wear a belt, for example, that has a pouch on it, something that he can keep his money in, or something that's valuable, he can keep it in that. And likewise, the belt will help him keep the izar tight. All of this is allowed for him to have a belt around the izar that has like a pocket in it, and the likes like this for carrying some small items that he might need to have on his journey, passport, these type of necessities. This is allowed. Likewise, it's allowed for him to wear a watch and the likes like this, and Allah knows best. So then he'll wear the rida likewise over both of his shoulders, and he will put on the best perfume that he has, the best oud that he has, or the best misk that he has, he will put it in his beard and in his head. He'll put it in his beard and in his head. And then now he's ready to head to the miqat. Now he's ready to head to the miqat. So if he's on the plane and he's like this in the plane and he's ready. So the one on the plane, this is for the one who is going to be landing in Jeddah. And he's going to be making Umrah whenever he first lands. So some people, whenever they go, yani some people in general, we're talking about making Umrah. When they go to make Umrah, they're either going to land and go to Mecca first, or they're going to land and go to Al-Madina first. And generally, this is the case. Other people, maybe they have family there, they're going to do other things, but most people who come only for these rites of Umrah, they're going to do one or the other. So if they're going to come to Mecca first, that means they're going to land in Jeddah. So that means they're going to pass the Miqat yani in there. So they have to make the Ihram at this time, yani before that. So we know that it's recommended to make the Ihram, the intention of entering into the rites of Umrah, yani at the Miqat. And we know that it's not allowed to pass the Miqat. But the one on the plane, if he's riding on the Saudi Airlines, then alhamdulillah, they respect these rights, and they would announce whenever the miqat is coming close. And maybe some other airlines might likewise, but many times they will not do that. So the person, he has to be prepared. So the one who is not sure if they're going to announce it or not, in his case, it's preferred for him to make the ihram before coming close to the miqat, a little bit early. So normally he would not make it early. But in this case, he's preferred to make it early so he doesn't miss it on accident. So whenever he knows that he's close to the miqat, he will make the ihram. He'll make the ihram by saying, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. Or Labbaik Umrah. And then one will say, La ria'a fiha wa la sum'a. La ria'a fiha wa la sum'a. Oh Allah, I'm responding to your call. I'm making Umrah. Making Umrah, visiting your house to perform these rites for your sake. No showing off and nor wanting to be heard. La ria'a fiha wa la sum'a. He will say it like this. Not showing off nor wanting to be heard. Any of the reminder of Al-Ikhlas. And he will intend in his heart. And this is the pillar. This is the pillar, any intending in the heart. As for pronouncing the type of rites that he's performing, then this is a sunnah. And it's not pronouncing the intention. The intention is in the heart. As for that which he's pronouncing out loud, identifying the different type, the rite that he has, that he's going to perform. So here he's going to perform Umrah. So now once he enters into the state of Al-Ihram with this intention, he already had his clothing on, he's already prepared. Now he entered into the state of Al-Ihram. Now he will start making the talbiyah. He will start making the talbiyah. If he's a man, he's going to make it out loud. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika laka. And he'll repeat it over and over. Over and over. But likewise, knowing what it means and pondering and reflecting over that. And we had a class specifically about the meaning of the talbiyah and how it consists of at-tawheed bin-naw'ayhi. At-tawheed bin-naw'ayhi. At-tawheed al-ilmi wa at-tawheed al-amali. And he both aspects, the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his bounties and favors and blessings, and that the command and the dominion and authority is in his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that one is responding to the call of Allah alone. And he is seeking for the reward and the mercy of Allah alone. And he is submitting and surrendering to the command of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone, in obedience. So this is a great talbiyah. So now he will begin saying that. Likewise, if he's coming from Al-Madinah, he will make those preparations in his hotel. And then as he's coming to the Miqat, he's going to make the Ihram from the Miqat of the Dhul Hulayfa. If he has an obligatory prayer to pray, then he'll stop there and pray that prayer. Or if he's in need of stopping likewise, there's a non-obligatory prayer for him to pray, then it's good for him to stop and pray the obligatory prayer. Or to pray a non-obligatory prayer. And then too, after that, once getting back in his vehicle to leave, making the intention and stating the talbiyah, and then continuing that way. Or if he likes, he can. He doesn't have to stop, he can continue. He can continue down the highway, but whenever he sees the masjid of the miqat, he sees the miqat on the right side of the road now, and before passing
that he will make the intention. He will make the intention and he will begin the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma umrah. La ri'a fiha wa la sum'ah. Then he will start the talbiyah like this. So if he stops and he prayed an obligatory prayer, or if he stopped and he prayed a non-obligatory prayer likewise, and then after that he made the ihram, this is all good. But there's no sunnah prayer for the ihram. There's no sunnah prayer for the ihram, and Allah knows best. But if he stopped and then he prayed an obligatory prayer and after that he made the ihram, then this is actually that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he performed. He stopped and he prayed that obligatory prayer, and after that he entered into the state of that ihram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what one would do. And it's allowed for him to enter into that state even after praying, or anywhere in or before the miqat, any at that area. But it's better for him to wait till he gets in the car and he's ready to leave. At this time now he will make the intention and actually enter into the state of al-ihram. As for the women in both cases, then they, as we know, they will wear the clothes that's allowed for them legislatively to normally wear. The clothing that it's allowed for them legislatively to normally wear, they'll wear those garments. But they will not wear gloves, and they will not wear the niqab. But if they're around strange men, and if they're in the company of strangers, and many times that will be the case, and the likes, or if they are around their family, and then sometimes they are around strange men and the likes like this, then they will cover their faces by letting a garment from their head, from their khimar, fall over their face lightly. Not the niqab, which is fitted, which is tailored to fit the head and the face. That has a place for the eyes specifically and tailored to fit around the head. This one is not allowed. Because the ihram of the woman is in her face, as the people of knowledge they have mentioned. But it's allowed for her to let a loose cloth fall on top of her head over her face, from on top of her head over her face. And likewise, it's allowed for her to cover her hands with her jilbab, with her sleeves, or putting them inside her jilbabs, inside of her jilbab, or putting them inside of her sleeves. Whenever the strange men are around, this is all allowed and permissible for her to do. So she will likewise make the talbiyah as well, but she will not say it out loud. She will not say it out loud, she will say it to herself. So the talbiyah will continue all the way till when he gets to Mecca, and all the way till when he gets to the Kaaba and he's ready to start making tawaf. At this time the talbiyah will stop. So he'll continue all the way in the vehicle, all the way in the airplane. And once he entered into the state of ihram, this is the shi'ar of the Umrah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and he will recollect this affair, and he will remember any of these rites, and remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise remember the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Likewise, he will remember the meeting of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the accountability before Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will repent and supplicate, and make the talbiyah all the way until he reaches the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever he's ready to start making tawaf, at this time the talbiyah will stop. And we've seen the issue with regards to touching the kissing and touching the black stone and so on and so forth, but Allah knows best. The best option for a believer is to just point, because of the great crowd and the dangers that one he would have to go through, harming others and putting himself in harm's way, likewise, in order to kiss or to touch the black stone. So whenever he gets to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, he will come to the black stone and he will see, he will see it from a distance. And also, whenever one makes tawaf, he's going to go counterclockwise. So whenever one goes counterclockwise, that means the Kaaba will be on the left. So he will see the black stone on his left. And then he will see on the right side up, there's going to be a green light. A green light that they have placed there that's parallel to the black stone. So this is to facilitate. So you see the black stone over here. Maybe you won't be able to see the stone, but you can see al-rukn. You can see the pillar, the corner right there. You can see the corner that the black stone is in. If you don't know, you look in and you find that green light. It's parallel to the one to the corner that has the black stone in it. That green light on the right side is parallel to the corner of the Kaaba that has the black stone in it. So whenever he's ready to start making the tawaf for the Umrah, he's going to make al-ittiba'. What was that? Now he's yaltabi'u. He's going to take, whenever he's ready to start making the tawaf for the Umrah, he's going to take the rida off of his shoulders. He's going to put the middle of it underneath his right armpit, and then both ends over his left shoulders, over his left shoulder, exposing the right shoulder, exposing the right shoulder. This is called al-iltiba, yaltabi'u, yani yaltaba'a. He's going to expose the right shoulder. This is the only time to do this. In Umrah, this is the only time to do this. You'll find people doing this the whole time throughout the Umrah. Whenever they make the Ihram, this is all wrong and not from the Sunnah. And it's not required and it's not proper. The only time to expose the shoulder will be while making the Tawaf for Umrah. While making the Tawaf for Umrah. As soon as the Tawaf is finished, he will pull it back over his shoulder. He will pull it back over his shoulder. So whenever he's ready to start making the Tawaf, the Talbiyah stops. And the Iltiba' it starts. Huh? It starts, and then he'll expose his right shoulder, and he will come in line with the black stone, and he will raise his right hand, and he will say Allahu Akbar. He will say Allahu Akbar. Some of the people of Nadazi mentioned he will say Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and the likes like this. So, and then he will begin the Tawaf, and in the first three laps around, if he's able to, he will make a Ramal. He will make a ramal. What is that? He will move quickly, kind of sort of similar to a type of march. So he's going to walk quickly in a fast pace while keeping his footsteps close together and moving his shoulders. He will do this from the black stone to the black stone, from the black stone to the black stone for the first three laps. So whenever he starts, he will start making the ramal. And then he begins at the black stone. He points with his hand, with his palm open, one hand, not two hands. He doesn't make takbir like he's making salat. He doesn't put two hands up. He doesn't do any pushing or anything else. And one thing that one will strive to do is to learn before going. Learn before going and then implement what one learned when there. And not following what the people are doing. Because if one did that, he's going to be doing so many different innovations, so many different things that are in contradiction for the Sunnah, or that are in opposition to the Sunnah, or have no evidence in the Sunnah. And the people will be doing so many different things. So one, he will not follow all of them in that, rather he'll be a leader. And he will find out just how strange Al-Islam has become in these days, and those who are truly holding fast. So this is what he will do. He will say Allahu Akbar, raising his hand. And then he will start making Tawaf. He's making the ramal, but also while he's making tawaf, he remembers Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there's no specific supplication to make while making tawaf in general. And there's no specific supplication, but it's legislated to supplicate. So one, he will mention different supplications that he knows and memorizes. He will call on Allah with his tongue and with his heart. He will call on Allah with his tongue and with his heart. Calling on Allah Azza wa Jalla with different supplications. And begging Allah for the good of this life and the hereafter, repenting to Allah, making adhkar likewise, or he can recite the Quran even. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned for those people who maybe they didn't memorize a lot of supplications, he could just simply recite the Quran. And every time the mention of Jannah comes, while he's reciting, he would ask Allah for Jannah. And every time the mention of the hellfire comes, and while he's reciting the Quran, he would seek refuge with Allah from the hellfire. Or if there's some good or the likes like this, whenever he's reading the Quran, he'll ask for that. But this is good likewise. The point is that one, he will be in a state of submission and humbleness and humility. And the best thing is to memorize a number of supplications as has preceded. And a believer, he should have an arsenal of supplications. And the people of Nara, as they mentioned, yani ad-du'a silahul mu'min. Ad-du'a silahul mu'min. That the supplication is the weapon of a believer. It's a means for him to defend himself. And likewise, it's also hisnul muslim. It's a means of fortification and protection for believers. So learning the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very beneficial, especially in Hajj and Umrah. Especially in Hajj and Umrah, even outside of that, to be able to learn these supplications and know them is of utmost importance. And likewise, from the benefits of that is a person, he will be able to realize the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by pondering over the adhkar that he mentioned daily, and by pondering over the supplications that he mentioned in every different circumstance and situation, pondering over the meanings, and likewise the du'as, the supplications of the Prophet, how they're full of tawheed, and humbleness, and humility, and submission, and the remembrance of Allah, and the glorification of Allah. And all of his du'a is from the most amazing affairs. the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he will make dua, making all the way around. Whenever he gets to the Yemeni corner, at this time, if he's able to touch it, he will touch it. If he's not able to touch it, he will not do anything. He will not say anything, and he will not point to it or anything. And most of the time, a person likewise, he will not be able to touch the Yemeni corner as well. So if it's empty, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar, in khalalak, and if it's empty for you, then go touch it. If not, then you just point. And Allah knows best, especially in these days, it's not going to be empty. It's not going to be empty. So a person, he will, when he comes to the Yemeni corner, he will not point or anything like that, not with his hand. He will not say anything. Rather, at this time, he'll start supplicating. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. He will say that over and over and over, all the way till he gets to the black stone. He will say that all from the Yemeni corner, all the way till he gets to the black stone. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So this is from those supplications that a believer, he will have in his arsenal, that he will know what it means, and he will say it often, and he will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good of this life and the hereafter. And this is from those concise and all-encompassing supplications that are very beneficial to call on Allah with, and to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one's needs. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Whenever he gets parallel to the black stone again, now he will raise his hand again, Allahu Akbar. He will raise his hand again with his palm out, one hand, his right hand, Allahu Akbar, and he will continue around. He will continue around. He will do that the first three laps, making the ramun, if he's able to. If he's not able to, then he will not do it. And if he's not able to do it without harming the people or harming himself, then he will not do it. But if he's able to do it, he will do it. And if he forgot to do it in the first or the second, and he remembered within the first three, he would do whatever is remaining. If he forgot to do it in the first one, for example, and then he remembered in the second one, he'll do it in the second and the third. But he will not make it up. It's only in the first three. If he remembered from the beginning, he would do it in the first three. If he remembered after the first one, he'll do it in the second and the third. If he remembered after the second one, he'll do it in the third. That's it. And he will not make any of them. He will not make them up. He will not make them up. And if he missed all of them because he forgot or he was not able, it will not be made up later. Even if it became easy for him, he will not make them up. The place for the ramun is in the first three laps. After that, he makes the third lap, now he just walks the rest of the four laps. He walks the rest of the four laps. And this is the case. So if a person, he can be close to the Kaaba and walking around the making the tawaf, he would do that. But if it's very difficult and the crowd is too much for him, or if he has children with him or family members with him and the likes like this, and it's hard, then he will back away. Or even he can go onto the top, the second floor, and the likes like this. There are other floors now that make it much more easy to make the tawaf. And even those floors, they'll be crowded likewise, but not as crowded. Not as crowded. And the only downfall for those other floors is that they're a bit longer, because it's further away, so the walk will be longer. But many times it's better because it will be easier. A person, he can take his time. A person, he doesn't have to worry about other people pushing him, or about women pushing him, and men pushing him, and the likes like this, or the crowd, and so on and so forth. Especially if a person has family with him, then maybe he would choose any of this path, any of the one that is easy. The one that is easy. So he will make this tawaf seven laps. And he will make the tawaf seven laps all in the same manner. If the obligatory prayer is established while he's making the tawaf, then he will, at this time, because he's making it al-tiba', so for the obligatory prayer now, he'll put it back on his shoulder. He'll put it back on his shoulder. Because from the beauty of the prayer is that the shoulders, they should be covered. Many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that at least one shoulder should be covered, yani for the satr al-awra. And others, they mentioned rather both. So it's best, any at this time, if one is going to pray the obligatory prayer, and while he's making tawaf, it's established while he's making tawaf, then he will pull the rida over his shoulder, make the prayer, and then continue on. And then continue on. Yani he's making the tawaf, and then whenever the prayer starts, he will just stop where he's at and continue from there whenever the prayer is over. Also, while making the tawaf, Allah knows best, from the condition of that is that one, he must have tahara. That one, he must have tahara. He must be upon wudu. And he must be upon tahara. So he has to have made wudu and be in the state of tahara while he's making the tawaf. And if that was invalidated during the tawaf, he's going to have to go make tahara again and come back. Some of the people of Nadas mentioned that he would build from where he left off. Others, they mentioned that he would start all over. And Allah knows best, he should start all over. So it's a condition for the correctness of the tawaf. So he has to have tahara, and Allah knows best. So this is another point. After he makes the seventh lap, now he will go behind Maqam Ibrahim. And he will read the verse of Allah, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, and take the station of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. So the Maqam Ibrahim, one will go behind it, but not directly behind it, because now directly behind it there's going to be people making tawaf. Rather, some of the strongest crowd will be in that area, and they're going around that area. So one, he will look at the Maqam, and then behind him, and he'll go back as far as he can. If there's open area back there, then he'll go behind the Maqam, but far away from those people making the tawaf, until there's an area where you will find other people sitting down or praying and the likes like that, and he will go there and he'll pray two rak'ah. And if that area is not available, likewise, he can go to the side and still be behind the Maqam. Or he can go anywhere in the masjid. Or he can go anywhere in the masjid. If he's not able to go behind the Maqam, not directly, or not even from a distance, then he can pray these two rak'ah. This is called rak'atah al-tawaf, the two rak'ah of tawaf. He will pray that anywhere in the masjid, preferably behind the Maqam. Preferably away from the people. And likewise, one cannot pray like some of the fools, they will do right behind the Maqam, putting themselves in danger and putting those making tawaf in danger. One, he will not do that. Rather, he will back away. So the point is now to pray those two rak'ah. And whenever he prays them, he will recite in the first rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and in the second rak'ah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And these two chapters, likewise, they have summarized also Nawai At-Tawheed, both aspects of At-Tawheed, Al-Ilmi Wal-Amali. And Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun is the clarification of At-Tawheed Al-Amali. And in Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad is the clarification of At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi, yani the knowledge-based Tawheed, learning about Allah and His great right to be worshipped alone, and that He has the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever. And there is nothing comparable or like Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, that one, he will worship Allah alone with no partners. That one, he will worship Allah alone with no partners. And in the manner prescribed, and displayed in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one, he will recite these chapters likewise, but also pondering over those meanings and believing in them. And one, he will recite, he will pray these two rak'ah, but likewise they will be brief, and he will not spend a long time praying them. You're already reciting them from the shortest chapters. So what is intended from them is for these two rak'ah to be made brief. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will not spend a long time in these two rak'ah. Especially in our days, likewise, we will not do that, because now there are other people likewise who are looking for a place, and it's best to perform this rite and to move along, So one, he will pray, and he will make the normal ruku' and the normal sujood. He will not spend a long time here making these two rak'ah. Rather, he will make them briefly, and then he will go to the mas'a. He will go to the mas'a. This is the place for making the sa'i. On the way there, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go to the well of Zamzam, or if it's not available now, to go to the to take the water of Zamzam and to drink some and to pour some on one's head. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma'u Zamzam lima shuriba lah," that the water of Zamzam is for whatever it is drank for. So, this is an opportunity likewise to supplicate and to beg Allah Azza wa Jal. And one, he will make dua and he will supplicate. And in his heart, he will intend something that he wants from the good of this life and the hereafter, and then he will drink. Yani hoping that Allah will facilitate that for him and respond to his request and grant him that which he is hoping for. It's been mentioned about Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, أنه شرب ما زمزم لحفظ الذهبي. لحفظ الذهبي. That it's mentioned that Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he died in the 852. He said that he drank Zamzam, hoping that Allah would grant him the memorization of al-Dhahabi. The memorization of al-Dhahabi. And then after that, he mentioned that he wished he never made any restriction. Any meaning that even better than that, that he wanted to have not only the hifz al-Dhahabi, but the unlimited ability of memorization. And Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah has mentioned that, you know, his memorization, especially with regards to the men and the narrators of the hadith and the defects in life, he was very strong in that. The point is now that the ma zamzam li mashuri bala. So now one is going to follow these rites. He's going to make du'a. He's going to be supplicating, and he's going to drink the zamzam. He's going to drink the water, and he'll put some likewise on his head, and then he'll move to the mas'a, which is the area for making the sa'i, and he will come to the right side, which is the side of a safa. And whenever he comes to the base, he will say, he will recite the verses of Allah, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ, that indeed the safa والمروة are from the sacred rites and signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he will say, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, I begin with that which Allah began with. And all of this is likewise from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that one will begin with safa because Allah began with safa and the mention of these verses. إِنَّ safa وَالْمَرْوَى. So Allah, He began in mentioning, He began with safa, mentioning these two great rites. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began with safa as well in performing these rites, because Allah began with him in the mention. Because Allah mentioned As-Safa first. So one, he will climb all the way to the top over that, and then he will face the Qibla. And then he will face the Qibla, and he will raise his hands. And he will raise his hands. And he will say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La ilaha illallah wahda, anjaza wa'da, wa nasara abda, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And then he'll make dua for whatever you want. Whatever you want, while he's in the hands. And then whenever you're done making dua, he will say the same thing over again. He will say the same thing over again. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La ilaha illallah wahda, anjaza wa'da wa nasara abda wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And then he'll make dua again, the second time. And then after he's done, he make dua. Don't just make dua one time. No, you make dua. You call on Allah, standing on Safa with your hands raised, facing the Kaaba, humbly begging Allah for whatever you need, for whatever your heart desires from the good of this world and the hereafter. And so that will be the second time. Then he'll make the dua again, yani the supplication, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, to the end, and then he will leave. So he'll say the dhikr three times and make dua twice. He will say the dhikr three times and make dua twice. So say the dhikr and then make dua. Say the dhikr and make dua. Say the dhikr, and then he will now go down and go to the other side, which is where Marwa is. He will head in the direction of Marwa. So whenever he's walking in the direction of Marwa, he will walk normally. And with regards to the sa'id, tahara is not a condition. So if a person, he lost his tahara now, it's no blame on him. It's no blame on him. He can make the sa'id without being upon tahara, with no wudu. Alhamdulillah. If he lost his wudu, he doesn't have to go make wudu. Having wudu and having tahara is not a condition for making the sa'i. So now he comes down Safa, and he starts to make the first lap, going to the other direction of Marwa. If one looks up, he will, after he walks a brief period, he will look up and he will find a green light. And then then if you go a little bit further towards the other direction of Marwa, there's another green light. So between those two green lights, this is the time to run. Yas'a, yani yas'a sa'in shadida. This is for the men likewise. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right here, he would run hastily. Yani yuharwil, he would hasten and run quickly between these two lights. So whenever you're coming from Safa, the light's gonna come pretty quick. And then the distance between the lights from Safa is closer than from Marwa. So then he's gonna come quick when he's going to Marwa. When he sees that light, he's gonna take off running if you're a man. If you're a woman, you're not going to do that. And if you're a man that has women with you and you're afraid that they may get lost, then you will not likewise do that. You will stay with the women. But if everything is safe and one can see his women, he can take off running and leave them and they can catch up with him, alhamdulillah, this is good. This is good. So the man is going to take off running at that time all the way to the next green light that is posted up. And whenever he gets to that green light, now he stops and he walks the rest of the way. And he walks the rest of the way, all the way until he gets to the Marwa. And then he climbs up Marwa, and he goes to the left and faces the Kaaba again, or anywhere on top of Marwa, and then he facing the Kaaba again, raising the hands again, and making dua in the same manner. We're making the dhikr three times, and dua in between them twice. And then after that, he'll proceed down and go to the other side. So going from Safa to Marwa is one lap. Going to Safa to from Safa to Marwa is one lap. So you have to make 7 laps. Saba to Ashwat. So 7 laps. So one will begin on Safa and he will end on Marwa. So the one he began on Safa and then he's counting and he ended on Safa, he's doing something wrong. Either he's short or he's one short or one extra. One extra. So the point is, you're going to do 7 laps. From one side to the other is 1 lap. And then back is 2 laps. And then back is 3 laps. You do this for 7 times. And whenever one is coming back, any from Marwa to Safa, to a Safa, also he's going to come and he's going to walk until he sees the green light again. And then when he sees the green light, he's going to take off running. And until the next green light, and then he's going to stop and walk the rest of the way until he reaches Safa. When he gets back to Safa, he's going to go to the top and he's going to face the Kaaba again and raise his hands and make dua. He does this 7 times back and forth. Also, there's no supplication specific to making sa'i. Rather, one, he will make dua whatever he likes. There's no specific dua. The only dhikr that has come is whenever one is standing there, yani after each lap, yani one is standing on the top of Safa or the top of Marwa facing the Kaaba, raising his hands, this supplication has come. As for going back and forth, then Allah knows best. And there's no specific supplication that's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one is free to supplicate with whatever he likes, similar to making tawaf. And he will make dua, and likewise he can make adhkar, or he can recite the Quran, or review the Quran and the likes like this. But anyone, he will take advantage of his time and he will remember where he's at, and he will likewise remember the state that he's in, and he will be in a state of humbleness and a state of servitude and submission and drawing near to Allah. And he, with his tongue and likewise with his state of being, this whole time he's in this great action of worship. This great action of worship. So he will now, after he comes to Marwa, at this time he has finished. He has finished, and now he will go after this and shave the head, or shave or trim the hair. And after that, the rites of Umrah, they're finished. So this is the Umrah in general. And there are other details that have come in the Sunnah, different intricate details here that could be also mentioned, but this is in general, the general picture of the Umrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's going to enter into the state of Ihram. He's going to make the talbiyah all the way till he gets to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever he's ready to start the tawaf, he's going to make the itiba', and then he's going to make the tawaf, say Allahu Akbar with his hand, raising his hand, and then make the 7 lamps. The first 3 of them, he's going to make the raman. And then after that, he's going to make 2 rak'ah behind the Maqam Ibrahim or anywhere that's easy for him. And then after that, he's going to, after you finish the tawaf, before making the salah, one puts the rida back on his shoulder. After he finished the tawaf, before making salah, you're going to put the rida back on his shoulder. The itiba' begins when starting the tawaf and ends when finishing tawaf. Exposing the right shoulder begins when making tawaf and ends when the tawaf is finished. So as soon as he starts to make the tawaf, he'll expose the right shoulder. As soon as the tawaf is finished, he makes the last lap, Allahu Akbar, now he covers his right shoulder again. Then he'll go pray behind the maqam, then he'll go drink the zamzam, and then he'll go to the mas'a, to Safa, and he'll go to the top and make dua. And then he will start going to the left side, to Marwa, and he'll do the same thing. And then he'll do that 7 times. And after that, he will go and shave his head or trim his hair, and his sacred rites are finished. Now he can go put his clothing back on. He can do whatever was impermissible for him before, from shaving the head or wearing the perfume, wearing the clothing. All that's over now. Now he has exited. Whenever he shaves the head or trims the hair, now he has left the state of Ihram. Now he has left the state of Al-Ihram. We understand this part. This is the Umrah. This is the Umrah. So the author here is talking about Babu Tamattu', the chapter of making a Tamattu'. So the one who's going to make Tamattu', he's going to come. A Tamattu' is one of those sacred rites and manners to perform Hajj. So we have Al-Ifrad, and we have Al-Qiran, and we have a Tamattu'. So the Tamattu', this is whenever a person, he will make that same Umrah we just discussed in the months of Hajj. He will travel to make Umrah in the months of Hajj. He will enter into the state of Ihram in the months of Hajj, into the state of Ihram for Umrah in the months of Hajj, which are Shawwal, from Eid to Eid. Right? So he's going to do that to the Tamaddu'. When is the time for that? From the day of Eid, the night of Eid, all the way until
first 10 days of the Hajj.
The last chance. Yom Arafah. He has to be before the Fajr of the day of Eid. And this is the time for that. He has to make this intention and this Umrah before the coming of Arafah. And before missing Arafah. And he misses Arafah by the Fajr. The day of Arafah is over at the Fajr of Eid al-Adha. So this is the time for that. So he's going to travel and make the ihram for Umrah. Then he's going to make Umrah in these months. And then he's going to stay in Mecca all the way until Hajj comes. And then whenever Hajj comes on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, Yom Tarwiyah, now he's going to make the ihram again for Hajj. So the tamaddu', he's going to make Umrah in the months of Hajj, and he's going to enter in the state of Ihram, make the Umrah entirely, and exit the state of Ihram. But he's going to remain in Mecca. All the way until Hajj comes, and whenever the days of Hajj comes, now he's going to enter back into the state of Ihram for Hajj, and then he's going to perform the rites of Hajj. So it's called a tamaddu', because yani a tamaddu' a talavuf, yani meaning that he's going to enjoy himself. And he's going to take delight and pleasure in making two great sacred rites in one journey. And also he has the pleasure of being in the state of halal, yani without any, he can do whatever he likes in between the two rites. So he's going to come, he's going to make Umrah, and he's going to make Hajj all in one journey. And in between the two, he's going to be in the state of halal. If he has his wife with him, he can enjoy her company and the likes like this, and all of the perfume, he can enjoy that. And his clothing, he can enjoy that. He's enjoying all of that which is normally allowed for him. And in between these rites, so he'll come and enter into the state of Ihram and make Umrah and leave the state of Ihram. And now he's back into the state of Halal, whereas what was allowed for him before is allowed for him. He's wearing his clothing, he's covering his head, he's wearing his nice garments, he's wearing perfume, he's enjoying his relations with his wife, so on and so forth. Intimacy with his wife, so on and so forth. And then whenever the days of Hajj come, now he enters back into the state of Ihram for Hajj. So this is why it's called Tamattu', because he makes two sacred rites in one journey. And between those sacred rites, he also takes pleasure of being in the state of Halal. We understand what that means?
Yes.
We understand what that means? So this is called a Tamattu' fi lisan al-fuqaha. Fi mustarahat al-fuqaha. The scholars of jurisprudence today, whenever they speak about tamattu', this is what they're referring to. Hadahu tamattu' al-khas, the specific type of a tamattu'. So what is a tamattu'? Is a person, he will make Umrah in the months of Hajj, and he will complete it, and he will remain in Mecca until the days of Hajj comes, and then he will make the Ihram again for Hajj, and then he'll complete the sacred rites of Hajj. As for if a person, he made Umrah in the months of Hajj, for example, in Dhul Qa'dah, months of Hajj, he made Umrah, and then he went back home. He traveled to Mecca, he made Umrah in the months of Hajj, and then he went back home. And then he wanted to come back the same year for Hajj. This would not be considered tamattu', because now the tamattu' has been cut off by returning to his home. So if he returns back home, now this benefit here is cut off. So the condition for it to be tamattu' is that he will travel to make Umrah, and then he will remain on that same journey and never return home until making the rites of Hajj. And then he'll return home. You understand that? So not necessarily, the origin is that he will remain in Mecca. He will come to Mecca, make the rites of Umrah in the months of Hajj, and then he will remain in Mecca until the days of Hajj and enter back into Ihram to make Hajj. This is the origin. But likewise, if he's still on the same journey and he travels again but not home, for example, somebody who came in the months of Hajj and he made Umrah in the months of Hajj, any with the intention of making tamattu, and then there's weeks before the days of Hajj. So now he travels to Al-Madinah, for example. He didn't travel home, and he's not a resident of Medina. He's not a resident of Medina. If he's a resident of Medina, the ruling is different. But if he didn't come, he's not a resident of Medina. So now he traveled, for example, from America, and he gets to Mecca, and he makes Umrah. At this time now, for example, and then he makes Umrah. So now he has a few weeks. He has a couple of weeks before the days of Hajj. 3 weeks approximately before Hajj starts. So he's still on the same journey. So now he says, you know, I completed my Umrah. Now he's going to go visit Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, which is also legislated, and then go sit in the gatherings of the scholars, which is also encouraged and recommended. And the likes like that in Medina. And then after that, come back to Mecca in the days of Hajj, yani with ihram for Hajj. Like this, this is good for him. This is allowed for him. He's still making tamattu. As for if he came and he made Umrah in the months of Hajj, and then he went back to his residence, the tamattu is cut off. You understand that? The tamattu is cut off. So also from the manners of making tamattu is that in this example that we had just taken, the person is making Umrah for himself and Hajj for himself. But even if a person, for example, he made Umrah for somebody else, like his mother, for example, his mother has passed away, so he's making Umrah on behalf of his mother, for example, in the months of Hajj, with the intention of making tamattu' into making tamattu', and he coming for Hajj. So this is allowed likewise. It's still considered tamattu'. This Umrah is still coupled with the Hajj. This Umrah is still coupled with the Hajj, even though he's making Umrah now, not on his behalf. He's going to make Umrah on behalf of his mother and Hajj on behalf of himself, for example. For example, this is still considered tamattu', so long as he came on one journey and he stayed and never went back home, and he made the Umrah in the days of Hajj with this intention. You understand that? This is called a tamattu'. So the one who does this in general, he's going to come, for example, many people that make Hajj, they're going to come now, for example, in the first days of Dhul Hijjah. And the first day they're going to get to Mecca, and the first days of Dhul Hijjah. So they're going to make Umrah. They're going to make Umrah. So whenever they come to the miqat, they just say labbaik Allahumma umrah la ri'a fiha wa la sum'ah. Or you can say mutamati'an biha ila al-hajj. All of this is allowed. Or you can just say labbaik Allahumma umrah. This is allowed. And he will make the umrah. And then he will sit in Mecca. He will remain in Mecca. And after he finishes the umrah, now he goes back to normal. Now he put his clothes back on. He put his perfume back on. If his wife is with him, alhamdulillah, they can have intimacy. All of this is allowed for him. And then whenever the 8th of Dhul Hijjah comes, in the morning time, now from his hotel room, even if he's right in front of the Kaaba, from his hotel room, he's going to put everything back on. He's going to make the preparation to enter back into the Ihram again. Everything he did before, he would do the same thing. Preparing to enter into the Ihram, he'll put the Ihram back on, the clothing back on, and then now he will say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjah. Labbaik Allahumma Hajjah. He'll enter into the Ihram for Hajj. And the Hajj will begin for him on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which is known as Yom Tarwiyah. And then he will head out in the morning time, and he will, Duhan, and he will go to Mina with the Hujjaj. And then he will spend the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah here in Mina. And he will pray Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr, all of them in Mina. But he will pray the Ruba'iyah, those prayers that have four rakah, he will pray them too. But he will not combine them. This is on the eighth day. And whenever he first begins the Hajj, he's going to go to Mina. And he's going to get there before Dhuhr time. And then when he's there, he's going to pray Dhuhr time. He's going to pray Dhuhr at Dhuhr time, two rakah. Then he's going to stay there until Asr time. Then he's going to pray Asr at Asr time, two rakah. And then he's going to stay there until Maghrib time. He's going to pray Maghrib, three rakah. There's no shortening Maghrib. Huh? And then he's going to stay there until Isha time and pray Isha. At Isha time, two rakah. And then he's going to stay there until Fajr time and pray Fajr time normally. Pray Fajr at Fajr time normally. And then and then before noon, he's going to head to Arafah. And then he's going to remain in Arafah all day long. He's going to enter Arafah at Dhuhr time. He's going to pray Dhuhr and Asr both of them, two rak'ah, combined together at dhuhr time. At dhuhr time, he's going to pray dhuhr and asr together, combined, both of them, two rak'ah each, whenever he gets there at dhuhr time, and then the rest of the day, calling on Allah, supplicating and remembering Allah Azza wa Jal all the way until the sun set. So he will remain in Arafah all day long. After that, calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, especially after Asr time, being before Maghrib time. At this time, a person, he will be very alert, and he will not be neglecting this period of that day specifically, the hours just before Maghrib. This is from the best time of these rites of al-Hajj, for supplication specifically. And Allah, he descends in a manner befitting His Majesty, boasting and bragging about His slaves. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ مَا كُوتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّن قَابَلِي دُعَى يَوْمْ عَرَفَةً لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكُولِ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So this supplication likewise is a supplication to be made a lot. This dhikr over and over, along with understanding its meaning and believing in that and striving and having great desire to implement that and apply that and die upon that. Anyone will say that over and over and over. And likewise, all of the supplications that one can say, even if he didn't know something, he will call on Allah, and even in his own language, it's allowed. And this is the day and the time for begging Allah Azza wa Jal for you, for yourself, and for your family, and for your loved ones, and for your community, for your brothers, for your neighbors, for those who have rights upon you, all of them to call on Allah for yourself and for your brother Muslims. For the good of this life and the hereafter. Then after Maghrib, at this time whenever the Maghrib comes in, and one is certain about that, he will not pray Maghrib, rather he will leave now. Now he goes to Al-Muzdalifah. He will leave and go to Al-Muzdalifah. And then whenever he gets to Muzdalifah, he will pray Al-Maghrib and Isha together. Maghrib and Isha together. With shortening Al-Isha. Likewise, he can pray Witr. He'll pray the Witr as well. And even if he got there at Maghrib time, and he got there still in Maghrib term, and he prayed Maghrib and Isha at Maghrib time, for example, now he can still pray Witr at that time, because the time for Witr is after Salat al-Isha, laysa fi waqt al-Isha. At the time for Witr, بعد Salat al-Isha. So the one who prayed Salat al-Isha taqdiman, then it's allowed for him to pray the Witr. But he will rest this night. This is important. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this night he rested, because the next day is the day of Eid, and it's also known as Yom al-Hajj al-Akbar, and in the greatest day of al-Hajj, because all of the sacred rites, the majority of those sacred rites are performed on that day. So the next day is a day of striving and making great effort, and you're going to stay in Muzdalifah all night until the Fajr time. Then they're going to pray the Fajr in Muzdalifah. After the Fajr prayer, one will remain making dua and calling on Allah and remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, making the adhkar and the likes all the way until just before the sunrise, just before shuruq. Then one will leave. One will even head back to Mina. And on the way to Mina, whenever he reaches Mina, he will first go to the Jamra at Aqaba, and he will stone it at this time in the morning time, at the Duha time. On the way back, he will stone the Jamra seven times, just Jamra to the Aqaba. And then after that, he will slaughter if he's making the tamattu', and he's going to slaughter, and then likewise shave his head. And now at this time, he had made a tahallul al-awwal, so now at this time he's coming out of the ihram, but not entirely. So now it's allowed for him to put clothing back on and cover his head and put perfume back on, but it's not allowed for him to have intimacy with his wife yet, until he goes and makes tawaf ziyara, which is Tawaf al-Ifada. And then he'll go to Mecca and make the visit to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he'll make Tawaf al-Ifada, and then after that he'll make Sa'i for Hajj. And again, if he's the Mutamatti', this is what we're talking about. And then after that he'll come back to Mina, and he will spend the next days there. The days of Tashriq, he will spend them in Mina, and he will stone the Jamra every day, all three of them, each one with seven stones, after Zawal. After Zawal, after the time of Dhuhr has come. So on the day of Eid, he will stone the Jamra on the way back from Muzdalifah in the morning time before Dhuhr. But the other days of Tashriq, 11, 12, and 13, when the Jamra is stoned, he will stone all three of them, seven times each. This will be after Dhuhr time, after Dhuhr time in the daytime before Maghrib, in this manner. And if he stayed 2 days, then he left on the second day before Maghrib.
then he's from the Musta'jirin, he left early, then that's allowed for him. Or if he is there until Maghrib on the third night, he will stay the third night and make the stoning the next day, and then he will leave. And the very last thing that the person making Hajj, he will do after he has completed the rites and he's ready to leave Mecca, then at this time he will make Tawaf al-Wada', the farewell Tawaf. And then in this manner, those rites have been finished and the Hajj has been completed in this manner. So this is the general step-by-step yani manner of performing the Hajj Tamattu'ah, yani in general. The Umrah, he'll make the Umrah and then come out of Umrah in the days of Hajj. And then he'll wait for the time for Hajj to enter, and he'll re-enter into the Ihram, now for Hajj. So one will, in the days of Hajj, he will enter into the Ihram. He'll enter into the Ihram for Umrah. He'll perform the Umrah and he will finish Umrah. And then he'll come out of Ihram. And then he will wait until the days of Hajj, and he'll re-enter into the Ihram, this time for Hajj. And then he'll perform the rites of Hajj in that manner. And then he comes out of the Ihram. And this is the manner of performing at-tamattu'. This is the manner of performing at-tamattu'. So the ansak, there are three. And they were at-tamattu', and qiran, and ifrad. So we see how to perform at-tamattu'. This is the best one. This is the best one. This is the manner of performing the sacred rites of Hajj that the Prophet ﷺ ordered his companions, those who did not bring an animal to slaughter along with them from Medina or from the Miqat. Those who did not have an animal along with them in their journey to Mecca, then the Prophet ﷺ ordered all of them to turn their rites into this rite. To turn their rites into this rite. Whether they were making ifrad or they're making qiran, the Prophet ﷺ ordered them to turn that into a tamattu'. At-tamattu' sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever he was asked about that, he mentioned that had he not had brought the animal for sacrifice along with him, he would have done the same thing. So he had hoped to do the same thing. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the people of Najd, they mentioned that this is the best one because he ordered his companions to do that and directed them to that. And this is something that likewise he had hoped to do himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ اسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِ مَا اسْتَبَرْتُ لَمَا سُكْتُ الْحَدِي وَلَحَلَلْتُ Ma'anas, as he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the best of those sacred rites. This is what one is recommended for him to perform. But also there are two other manners of performing Hajj, and that is al-qiran wal ifrad. And in order to discuss them, we have to have some time. We discuss these issues tomorrow bi idhnillahi ta'ala. So if there's any comments or corrections or benefits anyone has with regards to that which has preceded.
Tibat with Ramah. I thought you said the first three.
Uh-huh.
Is what you do. But right now I'm hearing you say you do the
Tibat. The Tibat is for all seven. The Ramah is for the first three. And that's only whenever he's making Umrah. As for in Tawaf, Arifada, there's no Ramah and no Tibat. Now, that was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.